The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Journey. Difficult. I mean, it truly has been a fascinating and weird time. For clients, we're helping them figure out that exact issue. I deal with luxury travel, hospitality, touring shows, touring family entertainment venue shows. We have a client in Australia that's actually doing all sports sponsorships. So you've got venues and games in certain states that are open, other states that are not. You know, you've got to just be so prepared to move on a dime and not get too stuck on the way things should be, but just how you can evolve them and be flexible and be adaptable. And that's really, you know, the best you can do. I sort of feel like in my business, I feel like I've almost prepared for this moment my entire life, because, we're about pushing our clients to do things that may be a little out of the box, that may be unusual, that may be the first adopters in a certain industry or a certain place in what they're doing. And we've got to help them. You know, the Titanics of the past that, you know, couldn't pivot, they've got to learn how to pivot now. They, you know, that's the name of the game.
It's like whatever everyone else is doing, don't do it.
Exactly.
You know, do something else. Yeah, I think it's just a really...
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit BeinhackerLaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview. This is one of my interviews from the PodMax Global event in October of 2020. I'm interviewing Kathy Sharp Ross, who runs the Sharp Alliance. They are a digital marketing, branding, and social media company. Check her out online, and I hope you enjoy our interview. All right, Kathy with an I.
Always had to be a little bit different.
Yeah, well, you know, I told you, I figured out that you're from Australia originally, but...
Right.
So thanks for coming on the podcast. Thanks for being, this is your first PodMax Global event?
It's my second. I was a keynote speaker last time. So last month I was in indoctrinated by fire. I just jumped right in, showed up as a keynote and got to really share and see just the world of PodMax and all its glory. And now I'm going to be working with the team on a couple of things and was asked to come and do some interviews today, which is fabulous.
Well, I appreciate it that they put us together. So maybe you want to tell me about your background and where you grew up and how you got into what you're doing.
Sure. So Australian born, as you picked up very quickly, and thank you for that. That makes me very excited these days because it's about 40 years ago that I left Australia. But I have Australian clients, so I think speaking to them every day is keeping it very fresh in my ear at the moment. But I moved to the States when I was 14. And when I was 24, I, in my own free-spirited entrepreneurial way, decided to open a public relations agency. Okay. So I've run my company for 32 years
now. So you went to college in the United States?
I went to college here in
Santa Barbara. So your family came, brought you over. You didn't
Family brought it, exactly.
Go on a boat alone and from Australia.
Okay, so here, I'll give you some real good ammunition. Moved to Beverly Hills, went to Beverly Hills High School.
Okay.
Was a cheerleader. I mean, this is so cliche. And my parents, you know, the Australians are going, what is a cheerleader? What is a sorority?
Oh,
you know,
none of that stuff. Like,
none of, completely foreign, completely foreign.
Was that the 90210 days? Was it?
It was. Yeah, it was.
Around then,
so
right?
So it was much that. So quite the experience. So fortunately for me, my family traveled a lot, lived in a few countries. And so I was very well exposed, which probably has a lot to do with the reason I turned out the way I did. Very free-spirited, always very curious, a lot of adventure, and saw a lot as at a young age around the world and living in different cultures.
Right.
So for me, it was a really amazing opportunity. When presented with the thought out of college of, do you start your own business? Do you go work for someone? And I already had created a company while I was in college. I was manufacturing and producing and designing a line of jewelry. It was called Kathy's Costume Jewelry.
Okay,
costume with a K.
Yeah.
And I had a full-fledged business. So when I got out of school, for me, it wasn't a question of where am I going to get a job? It was like, how do I grow my business?
Were you a business major in college?
Communications and business.
And was that part of, like, was it a project in school, like to start your own business?
Nope.
Or you just were like,
it was, I made myself a pair of earrings and a necklace, and I wore them to a wedding shower one day.
Like, oh, I like
and
that.
Somebody said, that's amazing. Yeah. And I thought, oh, if you want one, I can make it and sell it to you, which turned into years, 3-4 years of making and manufacturing and designing jewelry. It was kind of, you know, and that's
but it's great experience. You're 24 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 44. We want to get that experience then, you know, 20 years ahead of you. It's a good time to start.
It was pretty amazing. And I was still in college. I had every sorority girl in Santa Barbara wearing Kathy's Costume Jewelry.
Yeah.
It was the Madonna era. So it was like pearls and rhinestones.
Right.
And it was
I remember
thing.
That. They were wearing all that stuff.
Yeah.
My sister
So
did too,
that was early days entrepreneurialism. My parents, I think, you know, have a lot to do with the way I turned out. My father was very entrepreneurial and thus traveling the world and doing a lot of business overseas. And my mother was very spiritual. So I had the you can do anything you want kind of spirit around me in both ways, both progressively from a business standpoint and that open-mindedness.
Right, supportive environment.
Yeah, exactly.
Because a lot of parents are not, you know, like, get a job, you know, it's too risky and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So it was kind of, I think I was given those tools in a way, but I ran with them and I created what then became a, you know, a full-fledged marketing company. I basically knew I was very much a people person. I was thrown into a lot of new schools and having to make a lot of new friends in foreign countries. And so I was sort of the girl on the playground. I was like, hi, I'm Kathy. Will you be my friend? I just moved to town.
Yeah, and, but you had that Australian accent, which everybody loves. I mean,
oh my
so
gosh,
easy to,
it was everything.
Yeah,
and
of
even
course.
Starting
everybody
the
wants
business,
to know you.
Everybody
you know?
Wants to talk to you. So in the early days of public relations, where you've got to sit on the phone and you're not hiding behind emails and computers, everything was on the phone, and you call up
no
people to pitch them a story,
right?
And everybody's, oh, you're Australian. I've always wanted to go there. So it definitely worked to my favor. So yeah, if you're struggling, just fake an accent and people will talk to you.
You know, when with my former law firm, so we'll get into that later, but I had a group of guys and we broke up like last summer and I've been out on my own since summer of 19. So, but we used to have a phone system. So we wanted to have someone with an accent on the automated system. So we all listened to, I don't know, 5 or 6 different, we ended up with an Australian woman who recorded through, I don't know, one of like Freelancer, one of those, you know, voiceover websites. We connected with her and we sent her the script and we worked with her and she recorded.
That's great.
So you would call, you know, hey, welcome to the Bynack Law Firm, you know.
Right. Everybody's like, oh, they're fabulous.
I know. Wow.
Right. Everything sounds fabulous, right?
Right. Exactly. Is that funny? So that's how we ended up on Australian.
I think it's what made me the class president on my first day of school in America in eighth grade. And it's probably gave me a bit of a leg up as I started to do what I was doing professionally in business and be able to really get people's attention on the phone.
Right. And probably confidence, right? It made you more confident when you realized. Yeah.
And so it was kind of
good.
You
do what you got. You'd work with what you got, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that.
At the very early age of 24, started my own company. It was a public relations agency. I knew I wanted to do a lot that involved people, that kept me out there in the world and not chained to a desk. I really had an interest in creating events and helping promote people's businesses. And as I got more and more into it, we really started adding a lot of other disciplines to the agency around marketing and producing events. And
now, was
licensing.
It advantageous that you were out in Hollywood in Hollywood and California?
Not particularly. I mean, I wasn't really doing all entertainment. As a matter of fact, okay. I sort of shied away from the entertainment space because frankly, you know, there's a lot of babysitting and handholding that goes on in Hollywood. And I was really more of a business person.
Okay.
And so I sort of on the peripheral, like I would work with studios as clients, but not necessarily the talent. Or I would represent a big not-for-profit event, which of course you had celebrities on the red carpet, but the clients were always on the business side of it. And that was definitely my proclivity. And I made a point of really sort of sticking to that lane because I felt it was a much nicer place to be in business. And you hear all the shenanigans that happen in Hollywood and we've all seen it in movies. And I was like, you know, I don't have time for that.
Right.
But being in LA, I have to say, good business environment. You had a lot of the East and West influences from you. I had interest in international business. I have a sister who lived over in Hong Kong for a while, and we were able to build up some international business. And I spent every month in New York. And so I really sort of, and then a colleague in Paris. And so I had a Paris office for years and I was her Beverly Hills office. So it felt like I really had a bit of an international footprint. I mean, even colleagues down in Australia who had I, you know, wanted to do things down there, which we ended up doing a lot of business with Australia as well. It just kind of gave me that connection. And for me, the world never felt that small to start with.
Right.
So it was kind of nice to be able to play in these different areas and owning your own business. You get to really map out what you want. And so we grew the verticals, we expanded into a lot of industries, worked with some incredible clients over the years, the World Cup soccer, Coca-Cola, Super Bowl, you know, small startups, and, you know, helped companies really ramp up and learn how to sort of like find their way in the world.
Right.
And worked with major global brands. So it's been quite the journey. It still is. We're very much still in the thick of it.
A lot of it?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, it's, you know, it's been an amazing wild ride. And I just sort of feel like it's my playground every day. I pick and choose the people I want to be dealing with every day in business.
Yeah.
And the things that I want to work on and the businesses that I want to grow and that I can be passionate about. And I think that's really key, that you've got to love what you do.
Yeah,
if you're going to do it all day, every day, you've got to love the people and you get to pick and choose. And when I started having children, it became even more important because it meant if I was taking time away from my kids, that it had to be worth it.
Right.
And so it's really all I've ever known and all I've ever done. And about 10 years ago, I was having dinner with a friend and we were talking about this sort of lifestyle that I get to live. And we were in New York and I said, you know, everybody says I'm so lucky, but it's really been by design. And if you ask most people, they don't live life with that kind of passion. I had all these friends climbing the corporate ladders, dealing with politics and male-female politics.
And I mean, it's hard.
Yeah. And they were looking at me going, you're the president of your own company. You always have been. You're always having fun and you're traveling and you're doing what you want when you want. And I said, well, you know, it wasn't luck, but I think everybody's entitled to have that. They've just got to understand that that is in fact the case. And what is that that they want out of their lives?
Yeah.
And how do they find it?
I think luck and opportunity comes from like purpose and intent. Like you do things. I always use the analogy, like if you want to get hit, you got to play in traffic, you know, and a lot of people don't.
That.
And a lot of people don't you know, they, oh, he's, oh, she's just lucky. She came from Australia and she lived in LA and she met all these people. No, she went out and she did things because she wanted to. And being happy, I think, is a choice, right? I understand I'm not simplifying people's lives and saying that it's so easy, right? Everybody feels right. Like, wow, I have kids now. How could I give up this job? We have benefits. My husband got laid off. I understand that it's hard. Yeah. It's hard for me too. I've reinvented myself 26 times till sundown.
But wait, we need to talk about that.
Yeah, right, the whole therapy session probably. But you know, it's true, because if you get to the point where you're really unhappy, either you end up depressed and in therapy, or you have the wherewithal to do something about it, which hopefully most people do. And I think this is a time where a lot of people are reevaluating. I have a lot of friends, big law firms. I think there's going to be a little bit of an exodus from these big firms where people go, you know what? I have clients. What do I need to be going into the city for, dealing with the rat race?
Mitch, there has never been a more interesting time. And I'll tell you the greatest irony. This epiphany for my book came up 10 years ago.
Okay.
My pub date was March 7th of this year.
It's perfect timing.
So
people have a lot of time to read a week after your book came out.
Exactly. Well, that's it.
Right.
So the absurdity that it took 10 years is a whole story, but it also speaks to the fact that when you have an idea, you have something you want to pursue, it doesn't matter whether it takes 5 minutes or 10 years. You got to keep putting one foot in front of the other towards whatever that dream or that goal is. And one day you'll wake up and you'll go, oh my goodness, I have a book in my hand. It actually happened.
Yeah.
And the irony and the timing, I mean, talk about divine intervention. Yes. The pandemic has been the greatest atrocity of our lifetimes that we know. And yet people are being invited or forced, however they choose to perceive it, to sit back and pause, which is exactly what I talk about in the book, and listen to themselves and think about, I am at a crossroads, perhaps, for whatever circumstances are going on around me. What do I want to do with my life? I've got a little more time. I can go plant a vegetable garden. I can take more walks and listen to Italian and learn the language. Maybe it's time to leave the law firm and take some clients with me and I can work from home, because the whole world is working from home.
Right.
It's not going to be weird. Nobody's going to frown upon that.
Yeah.
And so it's been a beautiful irony in a lot of ways for my book to have come out now. I feel like reinvention and pivoting are the 11 o'clock news. So
no,
I've been in demand for speaking engagements and interviews.
It's
and
the silver lining of
what
we're going through. You know?
I had a lot of events planned to launch the book all over the country and all kinds of things. I had to postpone everything. But I pivoted on a dime and literally created the Reinvention Virtual Chat Series, which has been going on since the end of March, where I host people on a Zoom session twice a week. I have guests from the book, guests from every walk of life. Sounds like you've got some reinvention stories. We'll have to talk about having you come on there.
I'm trying to make the circuit. So it's like a video podcast series, basically. Well, I just lost your mic. Oh, let's see what's going to happen. Somebody playing around with the video here. Am I frozen? No, my internet's good. Are you back?
I'm back.
Was I frozen? I don't know.
You were frozen.
You froze on my end. I froze on your end.
Hey, I am here.
Yeah, I can see. Oh, now I can see. It looks like we're still recording. That was weird. I don't know if that was a Zoom thing or whatever. Can you hear me?
I can
Kathy?
Hear you. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you now. That was a weird Zoom thing. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
It's bizarre. I think it's still recording. So we're still
okay.
On.
Great. I'm here. You're there. Okay, good.
We were sharing some secrets and somebody wanted to cut us off. So.
Well, I was inviting you to come on the Reinvention Virtual Chat to talk your
stories.
Yeah, so
stories. It's like a video
it's
podcast.
It's like a video
series,
podcast.
Right?
It's not an actual podcast, but it's all video. And then I put them all on the Reinvention Exchange so people can watch. I've done 58 episodes since the beginning
That's a
of the
lot
pandemic.
In a short period of time.
So, but it gives the chance to not only have the conversation, but I do it in an open Zoom environment. So we have folks on that can be a part of the conversation, Q&As, some of the sessions are workshopping and really taking people through. I have 26 power tools, as I call them, in the book, which are very actionable ways to sort of move off that dime, whether it's about listening, whether it's about making those lists of what you value and where you're spending your time. It's about putting the reinvention roadmap together. It provokes a lot of thinking. And I don't think you'll very often have an author say to you, put the book down and go do these exercises. No one in their right mind would tell someone to put their book down. But you have to in order to action the things that you want. And I think a lot of people spend time thinking about what they wish they could do. And they look at social media and they see what friends are doing, but they don't have the confidence or the tools to figure out how they could have that for themselves. And that's what I like to inspire in people.
I think that's fantastic because I think that's the missing link. I mean, you can figure out that you're unhappy and you don't know what to do about it. Now, is the book in Audible?
It's not yet. As a matter of fact, I was going to record that in April. The book was coming out in March. Okay. I had it slated to do. And so, you know, it got a little...
Because I'm a listener more than a reader. But
I'll just call you every night and read you a chapter. I've had a lot of people say that. I love that.
I want an autographed copy of the book.
I am sending you a copy.
I put it on my shelf.
Absolutely.
Please. I'm a big reinvention person. I think different points of my life. You know, when I was younger, I wasn't like you. I was very go with the flow, you know, okay, that's great. We'll do that. You know, and I'm still to a certain extent like that with my family. If my wife wants to do that or whatever, I don't care that much. But with business, a little bit different. But when I was younger, you know, I went to college because everyone goes to college. And I thought that, did you come back?
No idea.
I don't know what happened with your video.
Sorry.
It's weird. Yeah. Zoom is not having a good afternoon. So, and then at the end of college, the reason I went to law school was because a friend of mine, very good friend of mine, who's now in real estate, never went to law school. He's like, I'm going to go to law school. And I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I didn't really want to go to business school. So I was like, all right, I'll go to law school too. And then 2 weeks later, when he sobered up, he was like, no, I don't want to go to law school. So I was like, well, should I go to law school? My grandmother had been poking me for years. Go to law school. So I decided to go to law school. And then, yeah, I'm much more of a business person than I am a lawyer. So I've always been down the solo practice kind of thing. I've worked for some law firms, but not a lot. I've built my own firm and then decided it wasn't worth it. I wanted to go out and build a firm the way I wanted to build a firm, like you said, that had a better quality of life, that I could control everything that I do, all virtual, you know, things like that. And I think you got to kind of reinvent yourself throughout the process until you get to the end when you're done reinventing yourself.
Well, you know? And that comes with listening. And I think a lot of people need to learn how to tune into themselves a little more. You know, I bet a lot of us can say, I take walks all the time or I take drives. But we're on the phone, we're listening to music, we're listening to podcasts. Right. I mean, that's my favorite time to listen to podcasts.
We don't self-reflect, right?
And I was told many, many years ago by a psychic that I needed to take a cup of tea and go sit in the backyard, my backyard, and stare at a tree. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. Come on.
Did you do it? No, you didn't do it.
Because that was not my proclivity to be able to sit that still for so long. And I may have, you know, I come from a mother who was doing yoga when I was 3 years old. So I get all that stuff and I meditate when I need to. But there was something about doing it consciously awake and being in that moment. And I didn't. But what I found myself doing was my version of that is that I would sit in my office with a cup of coffee in my hand and maybe just stop and stare out the window for a few minutes. And I was very aware of the fact that I was pausing, taking some deep breaths, being very aware that I needed that. And those may not have been those big moments of aha, as we call aha moments, but we've got to learn to do that. And know we're also hair on fire. And that's what I think the beauty of what we've all had to experience in the last 6 months. We've had to just hit the pause button on everything we had to do, had to go to, had to schedule.
Sure.
We've been forced. And it's been a gift if we choose to accept it.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all, help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's L-A-W to 21000 to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Even there, it comes
I think a lot of people can't self-reflect, right, like you say. I think they need tools like your book and coaches and mentors, and people just don't have the capability of stopping the music and screeching the car to a halt and doing that kind of stuff, you know? So I think your timing couldn't have been better.
I know, it's quite ironic. And it's I'm so grateful, right? Because, you know, when you spend this long, and I was writing blogs for the HuffPost and Thrive Global, and I've had an online community and a social media community and done panels and speaking engagements and workshops. So I've been in the content for years. But to have the book hit the streets at a time where everybody is in front of their computer, had a little time to read, time to reflect, and this is sort of the...
So it looks like you wrote
it for
coronavirus. It's
the guidebook for now is what I keep hearing.
Right.
Yeah.
It looks like we got locked down on March 14th and you said, quick, let's write a book.
And there it is.
Right? It's the timing.
And amazing interviews. Yeah, I mean, you've got 30 stories in there about men and women from all walks of life. Quincy Jones actually wrote the foreword of my book for me, which is pretty special.
I saw that over your shoulder. It's very nice.
Is pretty amazing. I mean, you look at someone like that.
How old is Quincy now?
He's, I think, 87.
Yeah, he's up there, right?
87, 88, somewhere in that vicinity.
I'm glad he survived coronavirus. He's amazing. A lot of older people have
amazing.
Not.
Yeah. So, and I think it's...
Love to have him on my podcast.
Oh, I know.
Jeez.
Right.
What a business story.
He's,
get him before
special.
You can. And before you can't.
He's special.
Yeah. How did you meet him?
We had worked on several projects together, actually. So I had worked on a huge concert in Rome about 12, 14 years ago, maybe. And really started working closely with him and his team. And then I worked on another project with a client that had to do with a charity I was involved with, and invited him to be a part of something we were doing there. So I just sort of got very close with his team as well. And, you know, just kind of a natural part of kind of my business and what I do. And so as I was thinking about who really epitomize this story and this message of you can do anything, and to have the optimism and the inspiration, his story is extraordinary. If you haven't seen his Netflix story, I thought I knew a lot about him.
I've seen clips of it. I'll watch the whole thing.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So
he's a great example of an entrepreneur.
Exactly.
In the entertainment
and against
business,
all odds. I mean, you look at his early day stories and all the reasons why none of that should have happened, and who he was to drive and make what he had happen in his life is spectacular.
Sure.
And I've got other great people. I've got an Olympian, Robin Cousins, in the book. I've got the famous swimmer, Diana Nyad, in the book, but I've got everyday people. Mm-hmm. And I think what's really important is the ability to relate to those everyday people, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street, who's now an NYU professor,
Jordan, this guy
in my case was what I call him. No, yeah, he wasn't the real one. Story.
Cause that's Jordan. Somebody.
Yeah, this is the story of one of those. His name is Bob Wasnitzer. And, you know, housewives or a mother of two who got cancer and decided to leave her husband, just real people having aha moments or really inspiring motivational and reinvention moments in their lives that chose to tune in, listen to themselves, figure out their next journey, have a reinvention in their back pocket. So when something did happen at work, they were ready to pivot or not ready to pivot. I mean, these are real stories that every single person can relate to in some way,
shape. Well, that's the thing. I think if you, that's how we relate and learn and absorb because we see ourselves in that story. If you just write something that's technical and all this kind of stuff, it's not going to reach as many people. The best books I've ever read on business are, they give examples of people that they've worked with or how their business evolved or what, you know, obstacles they overcame in their life.
Exactly. That's what's compelling. And if they're too successful and too famous and too fabulous, it's almost unrelatable.
You don't relate to that.
So,
yeah, because you look at it like, I can never be that person.
Exactly. You know? I mean, I definitely. Yeah,
but if you find that they came from nothing and now they're up, I mean, I don't think anybody of any of us can feel like we're going to be Oprah, but Oprah came from nothing.
Yeah.
She was just a reporter and working hard and this and this and got a chance for a local TV show and was very good at it, by the way. So she got a big following. But, you know, I don't think anything's out of the question. If people, you know, we'll give it a shot. Not everything's for everybody. And people don't even want to be on the podcast. They get all nervous.
Right.
I'm like, it's not live radio. Don't worry. Well, I have people who've been on who are very successful in their industry. You never heard of them, but successful in their own right in whatever they do. They're emailing me, calling me all the time as we're getting close. Are you going to send me questions?
What exactly. You're like, it's just a conversation. It's okay.
I'm like, we're just talking about your life. Do you have to do research on your own life? I said, and don't worry, I'll make you look good. You won't be nervous.
Great.
I promise you. And afterward, they're like,
that was fun.
That was really great.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, well, I should do this for a living, but I can't figure out how to make money doing it. So,
well, no, look, I think there are a lot of ways that people can incorporate reinventions into their lives. And it doesn't have to be big. It can be the 5-minute reinvention. It can be the 10-year reinvention. It can be something small and spiritual or personal or relationship or health, fitness. There, you know, so many aspects of us as individuals. And sometimes, you may be in that 9-to-5 job 5 days a week. That's it's okay. But if everything else outside that is nurturing your soul and bringing you joy and, you know, tapping into your passions and the things that you love, then that 9-to-5 job may not seem that bad. And I can tell you a million stories of folks who have done that. You know, they've either, you know, gone out and picked up the guitar for the first time in 40 years and joined a, you know, garage band with their buddies, or picked up the violin and learned on YouTube how to play it, or learned a language and suddenly have a passion for another culture and another country and finding other like-minded people to share that with. So there are so many parts to us. And I think if we listen closely enough to what's going to nurture our souls and give us that, there are other parts of our lives that may not seem as bad. I have an amazing chapter. It's called, It's Not a Midlife Crisis. It is a Cry for Reinvention. And you don't have to blow up your life and do crazy things if you just try to nurture your soul in other ways.
I think that's really good advice. And because I think when people think about reinvention and pivoting, I just told Karen before I was talking to him, pivoting. I was talking to somebody that said, I don't like the term pivot. I said, why? She goes, because if you pivot enough, you end up back where you started. And I said, oh, well, that's a good point. So I like reinvention better. But yeah, I think we always think reinvention and pivoting has to do with your career because it's such a big part of your life, right? Paying your bills and things. But it doesn't need to be that. If you're the kind of person that's just not comfortable changing that because you have children and you have maybe a spouse that doesn't work, or you have an elderly mom, or
we all have stuff.
You can find joy in your life. I mean, if your job's so bad that you're depressed, obviously you should change that to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of ways you can bring compassion and passion and joy into your life without.
And it's a process. You know, it's not going to happen overnight, but you know, it's
a
journey.
You may get there and change your job anyway, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, those are the things that I like to help people. When I get the phone calls and someone says I got fired or I got let go, I'm like, fabulous. What are we going to do? What is the next chapter? You know, I get excited for people because it is.
So you do coaching too?
Not directly. I do it indirectly.
Okay.
I don't do it professionally, if you will. Clearly, I have a lot of people reaching out to me because of everything I've been doing for the last 6 months. And I wish I had enough time to do that, but I run a company and it's not what I do full time, but I have some incredible coaches that I actually have both on my show that I've included in my referral system to sort of help people connect with the right people. But inadvertently, I think it's kind of why I started doing this. I've always been that good friend, that empathetic listener. And as a business advisor, because of what I've been doing with my company for 30 years, I have a very strong sense of what could work and how to direct and advise people and give them tools to do things. Sure. And it's what we do in business every day. We do help companies reinvent their businesses. So it's really for me, especially right now, as companies are going through such dramatic changes, bringing this reinvention conversation together with the business world has been a very big part of what we're dealing with on a daily basis now at the company.
Of course. I mean, the most resilient businesses have kind of reinvented the way they deal with their customers, how they're working. Maybe they're collaborating with other people in the community. They're supporting the frontline workers. I mean, all those people are really thriving. And I think they feel good about it too, because they're able to help as opposed to sit around. And I remember when this first started, right? Middle of March, I guess. I don't know what happened out in California, but
same.
New Jersey. And
left the office on March 17th.
So I got my laptop. Yeah, I think ours was the 14th. It was right in the middle of March. So I'm sitting with my laptop and my little earbuds in the TV room, you know, doing work, talking to some people. I hadn't really used Zoom at that point. I find out a friend's got a networking group. I start going to things. And then I think to myself, I don't think this is ending so soon. I can't sit here in my underwear on the couch doing this. I got to get set up. I can't go to my office. I didn't have a home office. We have a little desk upstairs where my son lives, but he's at college right now. So I kind of set it up and I started going to all these meetings and, you know, I'd get up in the morning, I'd wash up. I'd have sweats on half the time.
But nice shirt, right?
Yeah. Go in t-shirts to these events. I'm like, how can you do that? So I wanted to pretend I'm
you're real.
Yeah. And I had to create a routine for myself to get back into this thing. And the whole idea of having to kind of not necessarily reinvent yourself, but certainly be resilient as to not knowing where we're going. I do this live stream on Thursday mornings, from 10:30 to 10:45. I talk about legal topics. I'll talk about whatever it happens to be, usually around my business or helping other people, to help people. So in March, going into April, I figured, you know what? I'll do this Tuesday, Thursday. By May, I mean, we'll be going back to work. There's just no way that this is going to go on for this long, right? Now May's coming and I'm thinking, oh my God, I can't even think of topics anymore. So I switched to one day a week, figuring by June, definitely this will be over. I'm still doing it now, trying desperately to come up with topics every week to talk about. And it's always something, somebody asks me a question. I always have something to say. But it's ironic where, you know, we've come and I don't know, some people maybe pivoted right away and said, oh my God, this is going to be the next year. And other people were like, oh, this is going away. I'm not going to pay attention.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it's like, what do we do now? So
it's been an incredible journey. Difficult. I mean, it truly has been a fascinating and weird time. For clients, we're helping them figure out that exact issue. I deal with luxury travel, hospitality, touring shows, difficult. Touring family entertainment venue shows. We have a client in Australia that's actually doing all sports sponsorships. So you've got venues and games in certain states that are open, other states that are not. You know, you've got to just be so prepared to move on a dime and not get too stuck on the way things should be, but just how you can evolve them and be flexible and be adaptable. And that's really, you know, the best you can do. I sort of feel like in my business, I feel like I've almost prepared for this moment my entire life, because, we're about pushing our clients to do things that may be a little out of the box, that may be unusual, that may be the first adopters in a certain industry or a certain place in what they're doing. And we've got to help them, you know, the Titanics of the past that, you know, couldn't pivot. They've got to learn how to pivot now. They, you know, that's the name of the game.
It's like whatever everyone else is doing, don't do it.
Exactly.
You know, do something else. Yeah. I think it's just a really difficult time, but a good time. There's a lot of silver linings, it's interesting because you have a lot of experience and you're bringing a lot of that knowledge. I know through the book, you bring other people's stories, but a lot of it's, you know, your experience, but I got to hand it to you. Start when you're 24 with no experience. You don't have much of a resume. I guess you kind of give people confidence in any way you can to hire you. And if you're confident, that goes a long way.
Yeah. You know? And look, I think it was an interesting time. We didn't have a lot of dialogue going on around sort of the women empowerment and there wasn't a lot of support system, you know, organizations in place as they are now. You know, that wasn't even an issue. So it never really dawned on me that, oh, I'm a woman and I'm going to need my entire network and support system in order to be successful. That wasn't a conversation. I just did what I wanted. I took what I wanted. It never dawned on me. And yeah, well, I hear all this talk now and I'm like, come on, guys. Ignorance I just got out there and did it.
Yeah, just don't participate in the conversation.
Exactly. So there's something to be said for that. I'm all about, and I've been mentoring great, you know, women for 30 years, but at the same time, don't overthink it. Think about what you want to do, make it happen, do the hard work, show up, take it, just go do it. And that's
You know how many people I've interviewed and I'm like, well, how did you do it? And they go, I didn't know any better. I just did it. Nobody told me not to do it. And I just And that's a lot of maybe ignorance sometimes
is bliss.
It's helpful, you know. The funny thing is, though, a lot of times from all the people that I've interviewed habit scientists, I've interviewed all kinds of coaches and therapists and things people in the small business space, but people that, you know, coach with other people and help them, just like you're doing, helping people reinvent themselves. The one thing, the thread that kind of runs through all this stuff always seems to be consciousness, not self-consciousness, but awareness of what you're doing, what you're not doing, why you're depressed, what you don't like. And when you become aware, a lot of things, you know, change.
Yeah.
And
100%.
You know, you didn't realize how you were talking to people and how you were treating your family or how you're treating your employees or why you were depressed. You're walking around depressed and you it's all over your face and your spouse says, what's the matter? You know, nothing's the matter. What are you talking about? But it really is. You're just not admitting to yourself. So it seems to be that that's the key to all this stuff, you know, changing your life is being aware
and trusting in yourself a little more. I think people need to learn to trust in themselves a little bit more.
I think that comes with, who says that? Brene Brown, she talks about your first effing time, FFT.
Yeah.
Like it's the first time you're doing something and you do need to learn to trust yourself. And I think if you had less expectation, things got to be perfect and I'm not going to do that because people are going to laugh at me and whatever. And you don't expect a lot, then the second time's not so bad. And you start gaining, you know, confidence over time. So, yeah, I was trying to do that. If it's the first time, if you're a young attorney, it's the first time you're going to go to court, it's probably going to suck. The judge is going to treat you like crap. The other attorney's going to take advantage of you because you've never done it before. I remember being, that's why I don't litigate. I hate
it. And it's funny because you said, you know, your real interest is in business. And I think, you know, I find so many great business people that I deal with have law degrees and they've made that shift. It's a great background to have. And I think that there's a lesson in that too, you know, in that, you know, just because you went to law school doesn't mean you have to be a lawyer your entire life. Like open up your mind and expand the possibilities. I mean, look, I think entitlement sits at the center of all this. We should all feel entitled to live the life we want and to really exercise that. And for me, I've sort of reframed that word entitlement into a very positive thing. Self-care, entitlement, listening to ourselves, finding our passions. This is our life.
Right.
It's not somebody else's life. This is your life.
No.
What are you going to do
about
it? We're
in the age of it. This is not the 40s, 50s, and 60s where you went to school, you got a job, you worked for the company, you got your pension, you walked through life. We are in the age of awareness and reinvention and going after what it is you want. And I know there's people in the world that don't have those opportunities that we have and they work in it. They walk different paths than we do. But look, I have interviewed and I know plenty of people that have faced hardship in their life and started out poor in inner city communities.
Against all odds.
Did unbelievable things.
Exactly. And it's,
I interviewed a guy. Yeah. I interviewed a guy from Atlanta. Well, he's originally from Brooklyn, right? So, and he's a 33-year-old black kid from Brooklyn, and he started several companies, dropped out of school, I think dropped out of college, but finished high school and went into the trucking business because he wanted to see the country. So he's driving the truck. He eventually ends up with this trucking business that like connects the companies with the truckers because it's a whole thing about the industry as to how you can get jobs and then they change and you're always looking for jobs. So it's almost like a placement platform. And he raised $1 million. He was the first African-American person, a guy, to raise $1 million for this crowdfunding platform. But along the way, lost everything, lost his truck, lost his apartment, had to move back in with his parents, started a window washing business in the neighborhood because he needed to make money, got mugged and beat up to the point that he was almost dead and in a coma for several weeks.
Crazy.
And then started again, and now he's with some accelerators and got angel investors, and it, you know. But he was the kind of guy that said, well, I'm not
going to be a victim of it. Exactly.
I don't care. You can beat me down and I'm getting up. And I said, well, why are you on the podcast? He goes, because I think that my story is not meaningful, has no meaning if I don't share it with other people.
That's amazing. Well, I love that. I mean, that's it. I think, you know, we all have that in us, no matter what the circumstances. It's up to us.
It is up to us. So I think people should read your book.
Thank you. And, I appreciate that.
Take advantage of. Yeah. So what I'd like to do is, I do want
I'm
an autograph
sending you
copy.
One. You just have to give me your address.
If we could put a link, I put a link on my law firm website.
Wonderful.
To, you know, guests who have books.
Fantastic.
And stuff. So I don't know if you do it through Amazon or, because I have an Amazon affiliate link, which people don't buy something soon. I think they're going to shut me off anyway.
But it is available on Amazon. And it's on Apple.
It's easy. I just post the code in and then it shows up.
And the reinventionexchange.com is where you can find how to get to the virtual chats, sign up for my newsletter, join me on social media. You can click on the links to buy the books there. So that's sort of a good catch-all for everything.
Well, you can have your 12 staff members that showed up before our discussion to send
we'll
me all your,
send
links
you all your links
and your bio, because Devin only sent me like a copied paragraph.
I think
about
I need your email address, but I will track it down.
Is it in the
bios?
Do you have all the bios?
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, it's in the bio. My Gmail's the best.
And the Sharp Alliance is my consulting and marketing agent and branding, marketing agency, branding, sponsorship, biz dev, partnerships across a lot of business. But, you know, I'm really excited to share this, inspire people to live their most fabulous life. And I think there's a lot
of exciting. And I'm glad I was fortunate enough to be
paired. Likewise. I'm thrilled, Mitch. We're going to talk about your story.
Need a guest,
I know. Yes.
Yeah, I'm on.
Yes.
Let me know. I'm coming on. I'll be one of your unknown guests.
You're not an unknown.
In my own mind, I'm very
exactly.
well-known.
But thank you for having me on here today. And thank you for the conversation.
Thanks so much,
such
Kathy.
A pleasure.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.